This is CliffCentral.com.
Your inspiration, my ultimate intimate motivation. I'm the Can We Live It with Zarif Minty. This is the Inspire You This Hey here on Cliff Central in partnership with Pride Factor. So remember, take some time to check out our website, www.cliffcentral.com. Download our app and Play Store, cliffcentral.com. And check out our social media handles, Instagram, cliffcentral.com. And Facebook, Inspire Youth SA. Twitter, Inspire Youth SA. Zarif, what it is, man?
How are you doing, Kenneth?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. It's a good Monday afternoon. It's been a good long weekend.
Definitely.
So, but it's been a very busy day as well. I mean, you know, a lot of things are going on social media. A lot of things are happening in South Africa
That's
today.
Right.
I believe Sean Abrahams just got, they just announced that his appointment was actually unconstitutional at the Constitution Court.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing. That's a very, very big thing. Obviously, there was someone that Zuma appointed in. So it creates a lot of controversy there as well.
Yeah.
But a lot of other stuff are happening in South Africa at the moment. You know, we're still busy with the youth month, youth empowerment month now.
That's
it's all about entrepreneurship and encouraging people to start up businesses as well. So it's a beautiful month. We're seeing a lot of young people starting up businesses this month. So yeah, it's been a good month, bro. Pretty good.
I'm excited to be here. We have lovely people in the studio today. But I want you to think about this. Do you know what? The mastery of every craftsmanship is key to every form of success. So commit to mastery. The ordinary are paid for what they work for, but the extraordinary are paid to master their craft. And this is kind of what we're going to talk about in this particular context right here. So I want us to just welcome one of our guests, incredible people, and Zarif will take over from there.
So we're supposed to be having two guests in studio. Unfortunately, the one is running a bit late. We'll just find out, you know, why she's a bit late as well. But we have two ladies here from the Miss Earth finalists. They're part of the top 12 for Miss Earth South Africa. And we have Litla Nkosi in studio with us. So she's been incredible. I mean, she's a radio host. She's a, you know, an influencer. She's studying towards her law degree.
Yeah.
She's achieved so much at her age. Like, I can go through a list of things. You know, a lot of people follow her on social media. She has a large following. She's a businesswoman and she's achieved so much, but now she's actually a finalist for Miss Earth. She's one of the top 12 finalists for Miss Earth. Litla, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you so much for joining us in studio today.
Definitely.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
So let's speak about this whole Miss Earth concept, right? What is Miss Earth? Sorry, touch your tongue to a second. Miss Earth South Africa. What's it all about?
Okay, so basically, like, Miss Earth South Africa is a leadership program. Most people think it's a beauty pageant, but it's not. It's actually a leadership program that gives women the platform, and it helps us, well, make a difference in our communities.
Right.
By doing environmental work, we do a lot of community service. We do a lot of campaigns that for awareness, like we took part in the Plastic Free July campaign. We took part in, we plant trees, and yeah, we also visit schools.
So basically it's a youth empowerment seminary kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's like a leadership program.
Yeah, so you have all this kind of, you know, teachers and leaders coming to talk to the youth and all of that. I think I saw a pic, I think, poster online. It was 300 and something to get in, I think. But it was youth empowerment seminar. So I think it was quite incredible because I heard the comments were quite amazing.
Yeah.
And I've been following, you know, the lady who's actually in charge of the Miss Earth concept.
Okay.
She's a huge individual, you know, Catherine Constantinides. And I mean, she's doing amazing work. I can understand where the whole concept came from, you know. So she's fighting the whole fight against the Western Sahara.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to obviously get independence for that. So I can see she's all about the environment, all about, you know, social values, which is a beautiful thing at the same time. So I can see why they created something like Miss Earth. But touching back on you, Litla, you know, I know that it's a women empowerment platform, right? So we have your Miss South Africa, which is great and all, but it doesn't do or it doesn't serve the same service as a Miss Earth South Africa, because what you guys have to go out there is make an actual change immediately. So the whole concept isn't about based practically. Yes, you're a very beautiful person, but it's not about beauty, right? It's all about the amount of work you put in.
It's more of like, it's not a beauty pageant, so it's more like a program that you enter.
Yes.
So I think for me, I don't take it like as a beauty pageant or something. So it's very different to Miss SA because they do like workshops and stuff. And with us, they give us a project to do each month. Like when we started off, when they chose the semi-finalists, we had to do a cleanup. And then in July, we had to do something for Nelson Mandela Day. So it's all, you have to go out there and actually make a difference.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about these projects. So like, what's the purpose or what's the sole goal of having these projects? Is it just to obviously speak to a lot of young people and change their mindset when it comes to environmentally friendly concepts? Or is it something else?
I think it's just basically to educate people about issues that I myself didn't know about before I entered the pageant, the competition. So stuff like Plastic Free July. I didn't know there was something called Plastic Free July. And I didn't know that like the world is basically using about 300 billion tons of plastic a year, and it's all going to the oceans and it's killing, you know, like sea life.
Right.
So with stuff like that and using plastic and how bad, you know, plastic is, it's what it's all about. It's all about letting the next person know how they can make a difference and how they can start by making a difference. Well, there's a campaign called Waste Starts With Me, which is what we always hashtag. It's just to let the next person know that it starts with you, so we can all do.
Yeah.
We can all, yeah.
Look, her posts always end up coming on the Discover page because she has a lot of followers. So I always see these posts of yours where you speak about, like, you know, beating plastic, making sure that you swap plastic for maybe like your carrier bags at Woolworths or at Pick and Pay. Instead of using a plastic bag, use a bag that you can, you know, continually use, like a fabric bag kind of thing. Or like straws, for example. Don't use straws.
And I've recently collaborated with Sip Conscious. It's like, I don't think I brought it here, but I carry it everywhere. It's like a stainless steel straw. So instead of using the plastic straws, we usually use the stainless steel straws. So if you actually buy from Sip Conscious on Instagram, you get 10% if you say Lihle NESAA as a code.
No endorsements. I'm
joking. Amazing. Yeah. We also have Nancy. How are you?
Good, how are you? Sorry for being late. You know what?
I want to try to pronounce your surname. Is it Wadi?
Wadi.
Okay, sorry. Right. Great. So I know you're also part of the finalists, and I want to know, guys, how did you get in all of this?
Well, I was interviewing the Miss Earth South Africa, the current Miss Earth South Africa, Irini. And it was from YoTV. So when I was working with YoTV, we were sending her off to go to the international pageant.
Okay.
And so that's when I interviewed her. Then she told me more about the competition. And I was like, this is actually a leadership program I'd like to go into.
So what are the requirements to be part of this amazing project?
So I think all it takes is for someone who's strong, dynamic and ambitious in wanting to make a difference in the world. And I think where I found out about the competition was, I'm the former Miss Teen Commonwealth South Africa for 2015-2016.
Okay.
And during my reign, I worked a lot with the Miss Earth of that time. So getting to work with the girls and getting to see the kind of work that they do and all the amazing projects that they are part of, sort of always, like you say, it inspired you to want to be part of something like this.
Yeah. And I know you had a project where you were doing some sort of a community work in Lenasia CBD. You were cleaning up the streets and everything. Yeah. Man, that looked good.
It is. Cleanups are a very new project for Lenasia. So I'm from Lenasia, and it's a small town on the south of Joburg.
Yeah.
And recently, our CBD area, and specifically our post office, has been an area of concern lately. So that's when I started trying to initiate these cleanup projects in my small community. And it is a very new project, and slowly we are gaining momentum and community participation. But like we always say, it starts with me.
Yeah.
And I think it's us that have to be the beacons of hope or the driving forces these sort of campaigns. And if people see you active and involved and they see and they know what it's about, they want to join
to make a difference as well.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so
incredible.
So say you guys are obviously on the gala night, it happens, and one of the two of you end up winning Miss Earth, right? I mean, each of you can answer, but what would you actually like to achieve if you become the next Miss Earth 2018?
I think for me, I want to basically educate more people in the corporate environment, because as much as, well, right now we're focusing on schools, on going to schools and teaching young children and at like about cleaning and about keeping your environment clean and, well, waste and waste reduction, recycling and everything. Yeah. I'd want to go into the more corporate side, because as I was driving here, someone was already like throwing a plastic out of the car. So yeah. I think it needs to also, yeah. we have to go top down as well and just educate the people in the work environment as well on how to, you know, how to organize your waste at home and how to teach your children. Because if it starts, like if you teach them from a young age, then they'll obviously grow knowing, okay, I have to recycle. Okay, I have to, you know, plan. I can't just use plastic like... And necessarily and like use 10 plastic bottles a day. If I can just get a flask and just refill it throughout the day. So I think I'd focus more on taking it more to corporate and still while teaching the children in the schools.
Amazing.
Yeah, so for me, I'm a representative, I believe, of my small community, and yeah. I represent the girls of my community.
Nah.
And for me, what it's all about is anyone who knows Lanesia knows that it's a very small, tight-knit community where girls are not often exposed to leadership programs like this. And as we always talk about Miss Earth being a woman empowerment program. And for me to win Miss Earth would be not just a beacon of hope for my community, mm-hmm. but also serve as a platform for me to inspire and motivate the girls within my community and continue with the projects that I'm part of and hopefully inspire them to follow the same path and the same journey.
Amazing. I want to get a Magna Carta out of this. So I don't know if you would allow me. I want to ask you guys personal questions because I know the people who follow you guys, your social media is quite big. I was trying to send you guys some sort of friend request and all of that. It was quite hectic. I thought, oh, maybe a million of people are trying to get online as well. So I was like, you know what? This is too much drama for me, you know? So I think you have a great following. But I want to ask you this kind of question. What do you think defines a purpose-driven life in your case, Lisa?
What defines a purpose-driven life? Yeah. A purpose-driven life, I
think... I mean, you're talking about all these things that you're doing.
Yeah.
And all of this. I want to know, what is it? You know, why this?
I think, for me, a purpose-driven life would be where... You know, some things, you know, like, for example, I entered Miss Earth South Africa in 2015.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't go to the semi-finals because I was writing exams.
Okay.
So I don't know how it ended up that I joined it again this year. Mm-hmm. So I think with God's timing, it couldn't happen then. Something had to happen. But because it's something that I had to do, it ended up in some way coming back to me.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how, but I always believe in God's divine timing and that if it what's for you will never miss you, and if it misses you, then it was never for you. So I think if you live a life of purpose, you know where you're going and you know what you need to do to get there.
Amazing.
And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think for me, what drives a purpose... or what drives purpose is passion.
Hmm.
And I feel that if you follow your passions, that's how you essentially have purpose in life. Hmm. And I think following your passions, your ambitions, and your beliefs is what's most important and what gives you purpose in life. I think for me personally, I believe that it's my purpose to give back and make a difference in my communities. And my passion for that obviously drives what my life purpose is.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, just touching on the whole concept of the journey, right, of Miss Earth. It's a long journey. It's not a short journey at all. You guys have to get involved quite a lot. You have to, you know, obviously be available for different projects, different events. What would you both like to achieve from this whole journey, whether you win or whether you come out 12th? Do you know what I'm saying? What would you like to achieve from this journey?
I think I've personally already achieved a lot and I've learned a lot as an individual from joining the Miss Earth leadership program. Like things like recycling is not stuff that I knew in depth about, and like how harmful plastic is and stuff like that. So I think I've already learned a lot, and what I take away is obviously carrying on whatever I've learned to, and well, carrying on living like in this like way for even after the journey, and while helping other people know more about, you know, environmental issues that we're facing and how you can make a difference.
All right.
Yeah.
And you, Nazia?
For me, in terms of what will define success for me in terms of being part of this program is twofold for me. So first of all, it would be a personal one. If I'm definitely a very different person now that I've been part of this whole experience. As Lisa said, we've learned a lot of valuable knowledge, a lot of skills through the experiences being part of this program. And the second thing for me is whether or not I win this competition or place anywhere, I think the most important part for me is whether or not I've impacted someone's life, whether it be one child's life or one adult or one teenager, even if it's just one person throughout this long process or this long journey, whether I help them change their mindset, whether I help them change their habits, or whether me visiting the school maybe made them smile for the day. I think that would be
any form of impact in that
sense. Yes, any form of impact would be my end goal.
So generally you want to have this in place, intergenerational legacy that somebody can look at and say, you know what, this is what I have learned from her, and this is what I have achieved, you know, because, you know, looking at her as my inspiration.
Definitely. And
incredible.
I think that's exactly what this whole
competition is about.
Why we're all so close as contestants as well, why we can sit next to each other and have an interview together. Because it's about being
sisterhood.
It's a sisterhood and lifting each other up. It's not about me sitting here and looking at Lichle
as
competition, but looking at her for inspiration, because Lichle is so different from me.
Here's the thing I want to ask.
I can take so much experience and knowledge from her, and in the same way, I'm different from her in a lot of ways, where we can just sort of give and take from each other and learn from each other.
What do you celebrate about Lichle?
What I celebrate about Lichle is her confidence and just her ability to communicate this confidence. And I've seen her in places with kids, and it's just lovely. So I mean, you'll just see them all running up to her. Definitely her confidence and her passion for what she's doing definitely shines through. And of course, you're like a social media queen, so we all sort of bow down to you in that sense.
And I mean, for her, like, what's the best quality of Nazia's?
I think Nazia has a very big heart. Like, she always wants to involve us in every project that she's done. She's always said, guys, even if it's outside the most earth, the organization, she always says, guys, if you guys want to come with me for a self-defense class, there's a self-defense class. So she's all about women empowerment, and you're like a go-getter.
For me, I think it's about why else are we here then, if we're not here to support each other and empower each other. And this is why I've enjoyed this experience more than any other, because the contestants are not looking at each other like, how can I tear her down? It's a sisterhood.
Amazing.
Look, Lichle, I mean, a lot of women obviously follow you on social media, like Nazia said, but at the same time, it is Women's Month now.
Yes.
And a lot of women right now are looking for guidance. They're looking for role models. That's the one thing I was speaking to Kenneth about as well. Besides women, actually young people are looking for role models in South Africa, because we don't have enough of them, right? So you guys can become the pinnacle of role models for the next generation. You guys can come and obviously change mindsets, and that's what you guys are planning to do. But just touching on the concept that it is Women's Month now, what advice do you have for all the women out there? You know, it is a difficult month now. Not a difficult month, but it's a difficult time now for women with the whole Me Too campaign. You know, what advice do you have for women right now?
I think advice to women out there is to be strong, because I think more than ever now in South Africa, we need to be strong and we need to support each other, because we all know what's happening, like with the current, what's currently happening. And I think we need to support each other and talk to each other about these issues, because we kind of shy away from it. And if you're a woman listening to this, I want to say, just know that it is possible. Whatever field you want to go into, you can do it. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't do anything, and don't let anyone tell you that you're too young or make you feel like you can't do something because of your age or because of, like, whatever circumstance you're in. So always just push and just know that all your dreams are valid.
Nazia, and then, you know, obviously in relation to this whole hashtag Me Too campaign, what do you think of it?
So Lichle did mention the self-defense class. So what I've done is I've hosted, this was my second one. So in previous years I've hosted two overall self-defense class, three ladies self-defense classes. And this is because I'm someone who believes you should never become a victim of your circumstances. And nobody's life journey is going to be something that is easy and always smooth sailing. And I cannot name one life, easy life experience that has taught me anything valuable. And if you are in a situation where you are faced with a difficult challenge, you should use that opportunity to help others that are in the same position as you. So I was a victim of domestic violence, and so was my mom. And that sort of drove my passion and drove me in the direction of wanting to host these self-defense classes, because these are the skills and the knowledge and the experiences I wish I had being in those spaces that I was. Where they'd able me to defend myself, or where they'd able to me to have the courage to speak up.
That's right.
And if anything, my message for Women's Month is speak up and never become a victim of your circumstances.
Amazing.
You know, unfortunately, a lot of our leaders, especially in South Africa, they have this whole mindset that when it comes to men, it's not really men's issue for why women are going through all of these problems. And, you know, it's something that I wouldn't say I agree with at all. But just like a very chilling stat, you know, 1 in every 3 women end up getting raped in South Africa. Now, that's literally in a room with the 3 women of you guys here. One of you is most likely going to get raped. Now, that's a very scary stat. Do you know what I'm saying? If you could speak, Nazi, if you could speak to the men out there, especially coming to the comments that was made about all these, you know, concepts with all of our leaders, what would you tell the men of South Africa?
For me, where this starts from, it all starts at home. A man who displays violent behavior comes from a violent background.
That's right.
And that's where the issue really starts.
Yeah.
So it's not about saying, okay, you're the perpetrator of this. Let's bash you. Let's make you a perpetrator. Let's victimize you for it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it all starts from somewhere.
Mm.
And it starts from some traumatic experience or some traumatic background that has come, that this person has come from. And if I would be to give a message to the men of South Africa, I think what's problematic with the mindset of men is that if they're going through something difficult at home, oh, you need to be macho, you need to be a man, and you need to deal with it. You can't be crying about it. You can't go and stand up against it. Just deal with it. I believe that should be the same advice for men, to speak up and stand up for yourself and voice, even if you are being abused or you're a victim of abuse or any kind of other traumatic event, you should speak up about it as well.
Because a lot of guys keep it in, you know, a lot of guys.
That whole mindset that you're a man, you must be macho, just deal with it, don't cry about it.
And then one day it becomes too much, and then obviously
then you blow up.
What would you say to the men of South Africa, Lisa?
I would say to the men of South Africa that, like, okay, this is a very touchy subject for me. So,
it is,
for the men in South Africa, I'd say that beating up a woman doesn't make you any bigger. It doesn't make you're not more powerful than the next person just because you feel that you're a man and you think that she's a woman and you can just beat them up. And I'd say, you know, sometimes you need to go through, like, psychologists. If you have a problem inside, then go see someone. There's a lot of social workers, there's a lot of people you can speak to. But because men have this thing of, I can't go tell someone else outside my house about my problems, they then, like what Nazia was saying, they then hold it in, and then one day it just bursts.
And it's
so
all about
I'd say
a choice.
You need to speak to people. Like, men need to start forming stuff like support groups and stuff like that. And
that's
I'd say, you know, like Zarif and Kenneth, you guys can also, like, just start an event where you speak to young boys, because I think it starts with issues like that, where in South Africa we're not attacking things like, we don't have take a boy child to school. Like, why don't we have stuff like that where you're actually giving the boy child attention? Because I feel like we're not giving the young boy enough attention. When they grow up, they don't know. They usually don't know how to act, because some of them don't grow up with a father figure in their lives.
You know what?
So I think
that is so true.
You guys can, like, start. Like, men should start. The older men should start doing something for the younger boys, so that we stop this cycle of abuse and everything
that is
that's happening.
You know what? In closing, I want to tell you something. I also got abused when I was growing up. I was raped by 6 women, and growing up, you know, you find yourself in circumstances where you need to deal with what happened to you. So some men have gone through something. That's why they're doing this that they're doing to women.
Yeah.
But you got to deal with that, you know. And that's why we have, you know, gatherings like Legacy Men, where we talk to men to say, you know, there's legacy also in the domestic context. What happened to you doesn't have to go on in the generation. It has to change. So we're done. This is Inspired Youth Essay, and we're going to come with more. And just hold on.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, guys, thank you so much for coming through.
Yeah.
You really inspire a lot of women, and keep doing what you're doing. Wish you all the best for the finale and the gala event. And I know you're going to do so much in the future. So thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having us.
Cool. We're just going to take a bit of a break, and then we're going to get back into it.
Yeah. This is CliffCentral.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your inspiration, my ultimate intimate motivation. And this is the Inspire Youth Essay here on Cliff Central in partnership with Pride Factor. I want to take some time to introduce Dean Borter, who will tell you what's up. Hey, Dean, what's up, man?
Hello, Kenneth. How are you, sir?
Lovely. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very well. How's things going?
Amazing. Amazing. Incredible. Yeah.
Great. Seems like it.
It's such an honor to have Dean in studio. You know,
it is. Legendary.
He just changes the energy, though. Like, when you walk in, everything just gets happier. Everyone gets more excited. So
definitely.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dean. We appreciate you.
I feel it's because I don't know how to dress myself that well, so everyone just starts laughing when they see me. I think it's got something to do with that. Anyway, guys, the show seems to be going fantastically. I'm loving all the guests. Miss Earth, one and two finalists. Fantastic. Well played. A little bit of aesthetics to the studio side of things. But yeah, hi guys, my name's Dean Borter. I run Pride Factor and kind of originally founded this Inspired Youth show that seems to be doing fantastically at the moment. And I just want to give a little catch up to everyone out there, seen as we're in Women's Month and we're celebrating all things women. I see that our guests coming up next are all along those lines, which is fantastic. Except for Michelle, who is actually a man. Sorry, Michelle. Sorry. We went through this all fair. Yeah, we've got a guest in here called Michelle, who's actually a man. And I said, I've got no problem with that, because there's a famous surfer called Michel Borez who is very much a man and a phenomenal surfer. So welcome to the show. There we go. My name is spelled D-E-N-E, so I get Danae and Denny and stuff like that all the time anyway, so I know exactly what that's about. But yeah, anyway, I just wanted to do a little catch-up and catch up with everyone out there, seeing that there's so many things going on. To all the listeners out there, we've got a student entrepreneurship roadshow coming up soon that we're very, very, very excited for. We're going to be partnering up with the Department of Higher Education and Training, and we're going to be running around to about 13 campuses, universities around the country over a 3-week tour. So ideally check it out, check out pridefactor.co.za and follow us on the social medias with hashtag SEW2018, and we should be coming to a university near you. So that's just been signed off this morning, so very, very, very exciting. Other than that, looks like we're going to be running off to the Northern Cape with Anglo-American quite soon to go and inspire, motivate and guide a whole bunch of youngsters from that area too. So to everyone else out there, please, if you are listening in on the social media side of things, please do tweet at us, Instagram, Facebook at us, send us mail, info@pridefactor.co.za. We're going to be running around the country, and we want to see if we can come and help out and get involved. Otherwise, Zarif and Kenneth, you guys look like you're doing a fantastic job, so I'll shut up and let you carry on.
No, we appreciate you, Dean. You know, the show is all about just engagement and getting a lot of young people involved. So if you do want to get into contact with us, please do engage with us at #InspiredYouthSA. So that's on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. And we'll get into contact with you guys. Remember, the show is all about, it has to have that whole Oprah feel, you know, like you get an opportunity, everyone gets an opportunity. But talking about great opportunities, we have a lot of individuals in studio with us today, but they all came from the Belgium campus, right, which is offering a lot of great opportunities for young people. So we're going to start off first speaking about the whole concept of Belgium campus. Lebo is joining us in studio today. Lebo, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Good. I know that you're part of the recruitment aspect of it as well as admissions. I know that you guys are going out there trying to give a lot of young people bursaries to obviously form part of the campus. Let's start off first on the process. How easy is it for people to get bursaries, and on what industries or sectors is that available to them?
It's actually pretty simple. What you need to do, right, is you basically need to get 50% in both maths and English. That's just how easy it is. Get 50% both maths and English, and then
you qualify. Matric year.
In your matric year.
Okay.
But we also look into your grade 11 results. So it's cool to actually do good from grade 11 until matric.
So as long as I get 50% in maths and science,
100%,
I'm guaranteed to get a bursary through you guys.
Yes, you don't need to have done CATs or anything.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, and then just touching on, I think this is the one thing that really like inspired me when I read through some of the bios, was that the people that actually come into the campus, majority of them are actually women, and also the women are actually doing the best in relation to academics when it comes to the campus itself.
I love how he keeps looking at me like I'm so sorry to offend you.
But wait, now you're in charge of admission. So like, you guys go through like a little quota and you're like, oh no, this person does very well in all these subjects. Let's make sure that she gets a chance to come.
No, man. Not at all.
Okay, but like, so how long has the campus been running? And how long have you guys been recruiting people for these bursaries?
So the campus has been open since 1999.
Yes.
Originally founded by two Belgian entrepreneurs with the whole idea of inspiring the youth, exactly.
All right.
So taking it, instead of addressing the ICT need at a corporate level, we address it at a younger level. So the STEM subjects, the importance of actually doing well in school and then going further. So that's how it actually got founded, is making sure that South African youth actually have something to grow up to.
Okay. Amazing. You know what I appreciate though? I appreciate the people who are humble about things. Michelle over here did not indicate that his dad is one of the founders of that campus.
Yeah, amazing.
We appreciate that.
Incredible. Legacy.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so it started off in 1999, right?
Yeah.
How many people have, you know, come through the system? How many people have graduated? Do you have any of those numbers?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a scary number. Our first class actually started with 7 students, one of them being my sister. And now across all 3 campuses, we have just over 1,200 students,
yeah,
and produce just over 8% of ICT's graduates in South Africa alone.
Amazing.
And we're a really small university. Mm. But
huge round of applause.
Thank
for
you.
That.
Yes. Thank you. Modest little bow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and then, I mean, just touching on some of the other guests that are in studio with us, there's a young girl here, Tendeka Gugu, is in studio with us as well. Now, Tendeka has quite a huge story to tell us about, you know, how did she get involved with Belgium Campus, her being in high school. Tendeka, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good, thank you. How did you get involved with the Belgium Campus?
Okay.
You're a student there at the moment, right?
Yes, okay. Third year. Okay, so my journey with Belgium Campus began through a program that is run for young ladies, Illusion Program. Mm. So one of the co-leaders of the program actually had access to one of the vice chancellors of the campus. So she told us, listen, Belgium Campus has bursaries, I need women, are you interested? We applied through her and she brought us to the school and the rest is history.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm actually doing my third year, and yeah, this is a...
What are you studying?
Yeah,
it's a Bachelor of Computing for 4 years.
Computing?
Yes.
Tell me about that. What's that? I can imagine computer has something to do with it. But what's computing?
Okay, it's computing sciences. Everything from software, hardware.
Oh, amazing.
Programs,
okay.
Development.
App development as
everything,
well.
Yes. Everything, yes.
See, that's a very important thing, and I think, Lebo, you can even touch on this now, is the whole concept that, and we spoke about this many times on the show, right, is that the government needs to change something. They need to change the whole concept that people are going through university and going through high school and going through university and studying the same things, getting the same degrees, and then it's an overpopulation of it, right?
Mm.
Now encouraging people to start, you know, creating apps, teaching people about robotics, all of that is a very important aspect because that's where we're moving now with the fourth industrial revolution.
Exactly. Yeah,
and that's where there's a lot of opportunities still in South Africa. So do you guys emphasize that? Is that like part of your criteria where you sit down and say, look, this industry is pretty overpopulated already. Let's not spend a lot of time on that. Let's work on the things that there are opportunities for young people in those platforms.
Yes, 100%. And what's nice is that all the students are keen. You know what I mean? Like, they're all hungry. They all have a backup story. They already have their own projects apart from what we do at school.
Oh,
so it makes it easy. You know what I mean? Because we build on what they already kind of know.
Yeah.
So do you guys cover all the aspects of the fourth industrial revolution, including like blockchain, robotics,
everything.
IT development?
Everything.
Everything.
Including
everything.
Blockchain.
Yes. Yeah. It's a new craze word that everyone's going on.
Yeah.
But it's part of the ICT world in general. And I think it's really important to emphasize and to focus on it.
Yeah.
Because as students, you do 10 times better. As a student, if you're interested in something that you do.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I didn't enjoy maths back in the day. Who did? But
yeah,
at maths class, I was just like, you know, I had to get through it.
Yeah.
So, but if I actually had an interest in math, as soon as I understood the concept, I was like, I really like this.
Yeah.
And I started doing better. Mm-hmm. So hence why we do these fun projects and
take those things. So you have changed the academic model to contextualize it according to a student more like intrigue their interests.
I think we were actually obliged to.
Okay.
Because if we don't, then we just become a typical university where you study the same degrees and the same qualifications and you end up unemployed. So can't take that risk.
My goodness. Yeah. Amazing.
But just touching on the whole concept of, you know, maths and science as well. South Africa has one of the lowest percentages of students that are actually doing well in maths and science. So, I mean, I appreciate the fact that you guys are emphasizing that as part of your quota for you to actually get into the different, you know, campuses and different industries that are available to them. But, you know, how do we change that as like South African citizens? You know, besides the campus, what else can we do from a grassroots level? So from primary school and high school, how do we change that before they get to Belgium campus? Maybe, you know, Lebo, you can cover that.
Funny enough, we're actually talking about it on our way here. We were saying, okay, I'm from a girls' school, high school, and we did not have any cats. We didn't have, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's, I think from the ground root, don't look into, how can I say it? I can't find the word.
Perhaps it's like a stereotype. From a young age, I think you know, both male and females need to focus on the same things. Just for the sake that Lebo wants to become a NASA astronaut.
Yeah.
That's not impossible. And people need to realize that whatever you want to be, you can become. You bring it into your own reality in a sense. If that makes sense. So if you really want to become an ICT specialist and an app developer and a software engineer, so be it.
So at the core of what you do, it's to actually, you know, speak for entrepreneurship.
And bring it to the youth.
Yeah.
Don't bring it to don't bring it to me when I'm in university, because I need to make those choices way earlier. Bring it to me when I'm entering high school, even before. That's where you actually get the youth saying, oh, you're really good at athletics. Let's put you in a sports program. But remember that your actual academic education is also really good. Okay. Look at, if I want to, if I go into grade 7, for instance, and I want to do, I want to become a fireman. Everyone wanted to become a fireman. Policeman, fireman. It's all those jobs you kind of dream of as a kid. You can do those, and your dream evolves as you go along. You want to be a millionaire. You want to be this, you want to be that. Well, you can be. All you have to do is find a job that you actually excel in and have a passion for.
You know what I find to be very painful is the fact that most universities teach people basically on how to fish. You know, get a job and
how to survive.
How to survive from day to day. But you know, I think it would be so incredible to have those institutions that teach people on how to get the fishing rights. That even even when you're not working, you still get paid because somebody is fishing. And that can happen in any industry. You talked about computing. How do you make sure that at the end of the day, you don't even have to work? You manage the system and somebody is working. That kind of a mindset. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually think being at the campus and being taught that the way we are is... It creates us to be self-sufficient because, for instance, now, I mean, we all know how students dread the exam period and the exam session, but we are actually working on a program now that is going to automate exam papers, and students are involved in that. So now you get to sit behind the keys and you're like, okay, so this is what goes into making an exam and all of that. So they're making us think outside the box, although sometimes we first create the box, then we think outside of it.
The idea is that
we grasp the concepts that we are given, and they're not teaching us how to go out and fish. They're like, listen guys, go out, this is what you need, and they give you the entire package. So by the time you get out, whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, whether, it doesn't matter, you're equipped and you succeed.
You're holistically empowered. I went through the structure, you know, your curriculum. And one of the things that really intrigued me is the fact that it's very holistic. Though it deals with, you know, obviously your academic training and all of that, it's very personal. You know what I'm saying? That at the end of the day, you can actually get out in the world and know how to, you know, come up with your own model and make it successful. You know, so it is really, really incredible talking to you guys. One of the things I said to somebody is that read, study, and become. We cannot produce what we know, but who we are.
Yeah, Kenneth, I mean, just touching on a few things quickly before we close off. You know, one thing that we don't do in South Africa enough, actually celebrate each other as young people. So everyone here is under the age of 26. We have a 25, 24, 23 year old in studio with us. So we just need to obviously congratulate and celebrate them as people, right? So huge congratulations to all of you guys being here. You know, bless us to all of you. But I just want to touch on something, Michelle. You know, the whole concept of where we are in South Africa as young people, it's not easy for young people right now under the age of 35. A lot of people are confused. Mm-hmm. They're not sure as to, you know, what do they really want to achieve in life? Where do they want to study? What direction they want to take? You know, there's a lot of, unemployment rate is high. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe each one of you, in fact, can just give a tip to our young people in South Africa. Now that you guys are all at a campus where you're, you know, reaching your goals and you're achieving what you want to achieve, what advice do you have for young people, you know, each one of you in South Africa right now?
If I had to, Michelle. If I had to simplify it, I think I'd go with be future focused and be future ready.
Yeah.
See where all the trends are going and adjust yourself. Make sure that you're one modular being that can adapt and survive wherever you go, but also innovate. Our students work on incredible projects in every single sector. I mean, IT is not just your final destination. You don't sit behind a computer all day and that's what you do. You go into the medical sector, you go into aviation, you go into everything you want to do. So let's say you want to become a pilot. That's cool. But be realistic about how a pilot might actually have a job in the future. I'm not saying pilots don't have jobs.
Yeah.
But imagine we've developed a sense now that detects if you're falling asleep or not for aviation safety, which is basically called a virtual co-pilot.
Mm-hmm.
So innovate your sector that you want to be in, but do it through IT. And that's my biggest piece of advice.
Tendeka?
Okay. I would say you need to go out and get out and perform. I think part of the problem with a lot of young people is that we are sitting and we're just thinking that there aren't solutions out there, and yet they are. All you need to do is go out, prepare yourself, and just get into the know of things. It's also good to be knowledgeable about things because it doesn't help to just sit. So I think the youth just need to go out there, get some knowledge, opportunities are out there.
Perfect. Lebo?
I just live by one motto, just do what sets your soul on fire.
Yeah,
like all the time.
Yeah, I love
that. Yeah.
Whatever it is, just
Guys, so there's a lot of interested people listening in right now. They all want to know, how do they get these bursaries? You know, they got over 50%. How do they get hold of you guys at Belgium Campus?
So what I recommend we do is everyone just go through to our Twitter page or through our Facebook page. You send us a message there and we'll reply literally within an hour. Just make sure you get all your bases covered.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us in studio today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you. Okay, cool. So we're going to end the show off in a very different way. I know Dean's very excited for this. He's been waiting for this the whole show.
What are we doing here?
Aside from the fact that I'm clearly the oldest person in this room is drilling me. What else you got for me?
Kenneth is going to be providing us with one of his poems to end the show off about entrepreneurship.
That's right. So it's called Chronicles of an Entrepreneur, and this is poem number one. The name of the poem is The Paper Chase. So there we go. Fulfilled but never satisfied, the struggle ever so rampant and never gratified. Traders and workers caught up in the battle, ever so real, crowded by the bill. That's the paper chase. Oh, what a lovely fragrant cotton base, dressed in purified oil, the substance of hair, very fibers, soft like nepaletas. The warmth of hair embraced, the thrill forever pursued, the mansion of hair figures makes the man's heart quiver. Ravenously hungry, far much grander is the idea of breaking the systematic laws to make it. If not rescued by the wise, one goes belly up, bangs, breathing down your neck. The torment of poverty, far much agonizing than the mental incarceration. In basement like dangerons, voice like the Fort Knox, trading traders, workers, the cause of the traffic congestion captured in the paper chase. Working, going to work, coming from work, on the paper chase. Those who have it never satisfied, those who want it never content, those who used to have it never fulfill. The masters of the chase, I claim, good God, this looks like the Bank of England. And that's Kenneth Maliffin.
Wow. Nice.
So this is the Inspire You This Air. You are on Cleve Central, and this is a program designed and empowered by Cleve Central as well.
Don't forget, guys, if you do want us to actually come through to your schools, to any of your events, and you want any of us to speak that's part of Pride Factor, please get into contact with us. Just use the hashtag InspiredYouthSA and send through your request, and we'll definitely get back to you as soon as we can. But on that note, Kenneth, I think we can call it a good show. What do you think?
Yeah.
This is CliffCentral.com.